Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
How's your week going, gents?
Yeah, not bad. I've done something very... Oh, actually, no, I'm not going to do that. I was going to plug one of my non-rugby activities, but I won't. So there.
My week, I can safely say, has been very busy already.
Tim, back from London so soon?
Yeah, well, I thought I'd just nip back...
Mid-show as well.
Nip back mid-show. I'll go back and finish the rest of the show in a bit. But yeah. That's the lengths we go to on this podcast. Tuesday evening, feeling very Tuesday-ish. I'd sort of describe the weather today as kind of, it could have been described as any kind of weather.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
All weathers,
while simultaneously being none of those weathers at any one time.
Very, very.
Or no time. Right, this is the Midweek Domestic Podcast. If you're listening thinking you're going to hear about Six Nations rugby, you've missed that one because we did it on Sunday. So just hit subscribe and you'll get every episode. But this is about the Avicii Premiership.
What?
The Avicii Premiership.
Yeah. Well, that's loud.
We've got James Haskell to do a little house set for us to start the podcast. And also about the Pro 12 and just any other matters domestically or anything we've missed or anything we just feel like talking about in the rugby universe. And thank you, JB. Thank you, DJ Haskell. Smooth. Let me just remind you, at Rugby Podcast on Twitter, we're on Instagram, Egg Chasers Podcast, and occasionally we do the odd little live video as well. So you need to be following if you want to get those. But interesting picture. What's the picture? Oh, a line. If you want to know what a line out pint is,
I know what a line out pint is.
We'll have to. In fact, we're going to have to get our listeners who are coming out to Romania with us. We're going to have to get line out pints going at the game.
Is there not a health and safety kind of issue? Oh, it's Romania. There's no health.
No, exactly.
Health and safety out
anything
there,
goes there. But if you want to know what a line out pint is, and what JB dressed up as Alan Quinlan looks like.
Oh, this is what you're doing.
Well, or Phil on a watt bike being shouted at by Will Greenwood.
Yes.
Then get to Egg Chasers Podcast on Instagram.
Well, with that in mind, shall we put our hands in and pod on three and actually start the show?
Oh fuck. I thought with the DJ Haskell remix that we had, but yeah, let's do it. Hands in, pod on three. One, two, three.
Pod.
Hello, Egg Chasers. This is the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. We're just three mates. We're Phil.
Hello, Tim.
We're JB.
Hello, Tim.
I'm Tim, and we're here with you to talk about today domestic matters. Again, Pro 12 was a shell of a competition, shorn of most of its key talent. Is there any elements you want to talk about in that competition?
No, none.
A brilliant, tremendous win for Ulster, including some very talented players, the likes of
Ulster did have some really good players, you're right.
Pietau and Ruan Pienaar, they're two of the most talented players in the competition anyway.
Kurt Seer is out injured, is that right? Is he out or did he play?
I thought he played. But
oh, no. You're probably right. He didn't get a knock or anything.
No,
or he came through unscathed.
Sorry, no, he didn't play. He must have dropped out just before the match. Sean Reedy started at 8, so that is a little bit worrying.
Yeah.
I'll look into that.
But Ulster are making hay during this Six Nations period.
They are, and alongside obviously the international talents, young Jacob Stockdale, who played for Ireland under 20s in the
fullback.
I've seen him play centre, wing, and fullback, and he's a big strapping.
He played fullback for the 20s, and he looked awesome.
Yeah,
him and the number 8 Max Deegan.
I
want to say something like that.
Deegs.
And John Porter, the prop, loosehead prop for Leinster. They had some really good players in that side.
Well, Stockdale, the last few weeks, is looking increasingly impressive. In a very good 40 points to 17, admittedly away win at Zebre. But a win is a win is a win. Got to score those tries.
Exactly right. Quite impressive result for Scarlets versus Munster.
Yeah, that was quite interesting because they're both losing international talent.
Yeah, I mean, I guess as Pro 12 goes over the Six Nations, it's actually not a bad game because they've both got pretty strong academies. Mm. They both play rugby in a nice way. And actually, to go to Munster any time is particularly difficult.
To win in Munster, regardless of who's on the field, is very impressive. Yes.
There you go.
Pro 12.
I don't know if I should hit go on this. I've just been sent a video during the podcast.
Oh, go on.
I don't know if it's in relation to... possibly in relation to a line-out pint.
Oh, go.
Shall I play it?
Yeah, absolutely play it.
All right, I don't know. But hopefully it's just audio. I don't know whether I should show it on Facebook. I want to see it first. Check it's not.
All right.
Check it's safe for work as such.
And two dickheads are going to separate themselves.
What are those dickheads called?
Go. Oh, okay, I don't know.
That was me. Oh, no, it's not.
Do you want to describe what's going on?
No.
I don't. Oh. This is terrible radio or audio. This is terrible podcasting. All I can see is Phil dressed as John McEnroe with a man's face in his backside.
Who is that? Is that Steve?
That is Steve.
What an idiot. This is getting far too in-jokey.
No, exactly. So all I will say is there could be some very, very interesting stuff that will happen in Romania on the strength of some of the things I've seen this evening.
Yes, quite.
Anyway, so come and join us.
Yes.
Should we talk Premiership, or do you want to talk a little bit more about Pro 12 before we move on?
Should we go on to the Premiership?
Yeah, let's go on to the Avicii Premiership. And, you know, Pro 12 fans...
Sorry, yeah.
Go for it. Right now, we're going to talk about the Avicii, because with 12 teams, that's still a quality competition. Go for it, JB.
Well, let's start with Friday night's game.
I thought we were going to play the music again.
Okay, let's start with Friday night's game, because...
Are we going to pick the bones out of every game?
Well, I think this is important.
Okay, yeah.
I think this is important, because Quins are unbeaten at home, and no matter which way you cut it, Leicester are terrible away from home.
Yes.
So for them to go and beat Quins at the Stoop, I think, is mightily impressive. But I actually think it's part of a larger trend, which is, I think Leicester might have turned a corner. I really do. Now, I've only got the evidence of Gloucester, Harlequins and Leicester. Bristol. And Bristol to go on. But every time that they're playing, they're getting a little bit better. They were 13-3 down... down half time.
Yeah.
And second half, they absolutely battered them. There's a couple of things going on, I think. I think the preparation for the game is far, far better. I think the players that they have were, I mean, I've said this last week, whereas they were underpowered for the Richard Cockrell game, are actually perfect for the Aaron Major game.
For the slightly higher tempo, higher pace.
Slightly higher, much higher tempo. And they do different things every game. Like, there was a big emphasis this week on the inside ball, for whatever reason it was, and it was really, really devastating.
Do you think some of it is they've got a couple of their talented players back in? So, referring specifically to JP Peterson and Tolisa Vianu.
Yeah, God,
absolutely.
That
make a huge difference.
Yeah, Vianu at fullback. Yeah. He is electric, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest difference for me is coming at the forwards and how quickly those boys are getting round the park and recycling ball. But yeah, you are right about JP Peterson. He's just a fantastic player.
Yeah.
You got JP Peterson, you got the French international Maxime Mars, and you've got Tolisa Vianu, who probably made the most yards last year in the entire Premiership.
Yeah.
It does make a difference.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
But still, 13-3 down at half-time, incredible turnaround. Very, very, very impressive. I think these guys, well, they're already fourth. They're fifth. I think they're going to make the top four, and I think they're going to have a real, real good go at the title this year, which is crazy considering where they were European Cup time.
Yes. Yeah, very true.
It is true. I think what you said about the injuries, key players coming back, is massive, because another team who can't seem to pick up a win on the road is Bath.
Yeah.
That's the biggest result of the weekend, was Bristol bucking the trend with their form.
Yeah.
Alan Solomons has come in as a consultant and obviously put a rocket up him and has lit a fire in that Bristol team and done something.
When has the 67-year-old South African version of Graham Dawes been the ideal solution for a relegation contender?
Well, it's a little bit like kind of football. They just tend to sack a manager and then get someone in on short term, and they go for basically one of two people. It's Harry Redknapp or Sam Allardyce.
David Moyes.
Yeah, rugby, they just do this. They go, right, let's just
add another one.
Let's call in this guy. He might have a real short term effect.
Yeah. Well,
do you know what? You're on something there, because that's what they did, didn't they? They brought in Tainton.
Yeah.
And Tainton's brought in Solomon.
Yeah.
So
just keep the honeymoon effect going.
Yeah,
just keep bringing in a new person every month.
As soon as they start losing a couple of games.
Who are they going to bring in next? Let's have some predictions.
Graham Henry for like a 2 or 3 game consultancy role.
Yeah.
Stuart Lancaster's re-signed with Leinster, hasn't he?
So he's off the market.
He's off the market.
Yeah.
Steve Meehan.
Yeah.
That's the guy that keeps on doing the rounds.
Gary Gold's doing it at Worcester.
He is doing it at Worcester.
Now, is he not full-time yet?
I think he is.
Robbie Deans isn't doing anything.
That's a great show. What's his name? The guy who never coached Sale. Mental guy. Mitchell.
John Mitchell.
John Mitchell.
Yeah.
He's got to be linked soon, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And then Iron Lion Ryan could do it just for a month before he joins Wales.
Skills and attacking.
It'd be interesting.
Coach.
Yeah, so it's interesting to see he's going to join this posse. Yeah, and then you bump everyone else up on a bit of a higher salary to operations director.
Yeah.
No, I actually think this is something I mentioned last year, which was the halfback honeymoon period.
Because
You got...
Halfback honeymoon trademark, Phil Largan.
Yes.
2015.
Which got Worcester out of a hole last season. And Newcastle when they had...
Goody.
Yeah. And Big Gav.
Let's talk about
his back.
Let's talk about
you. See, now, this is where we should be breaking out the Brokeback Mountain music.
So glad we're not, though. So, all joking aside, he was magnificent today.
What do you mean, all joking aside?
Well,
it's fair enough.
He really was good. I mean, there was a passage of play today where.
Today? You mean 2 days ago?
Yeah, 2 days ago. And, he touched the ball three times and managed to get Bristol from their own 22 to the Bath for a Bath line out in Bath's own 22. And he just controlled everything so well.
He did.
He is a class above when he wants to be.
He did look. He was like rolling back the ears.
He did an up and under at one point. And you just, I'm looking at TV and thinking, like, where's the ball? It's not down yet. It stayed up for so long.
He did a drop goal. You don't see drop goals much these days.
He tried two.
He tried another one, yeah.
Yeah.
It was Big Gav 12, Bath 11. He did do a dive at one point when he ran into... Was it Benno Urbano? It was a bit ridiculous, the dive. It looked like a dive.
I'm glad you brought up diving, Tim, because I have a brilliant idea.
Okay, go on then.
We all
Gavin Henson in Speedo doing splash when it comes back to ITV.
We all hate diving.
I'll turn this off now.
And we all hate HIAs. Agreed?
When you say hate HIAs?
Well, yeah.
I hate people getting head injuries.
Tom Vandell didn't like HIAs today, did he?
Tom Vandell. So, if you dive, right, I'm going to automatically assume that you must have got a knock to the head because rugby players don't dive.
Yes.
I'm then going to make you do an HIA.
That is a very good solution to that problem.
Yeah. So if you dive and you're rolling around if you pass, penalty against you.
Yeah. But no,
yellow card for simulation. But I'd almost say straight away it's automatically pulled from the game, because even if you pass an HIA, there must be something wrong in the head that an HIA hasn't spotted.
Yeah.
So you're just going to have to, as a precaution, take them off.
No,
because no one of right mind would do that.
That's a very good point, actually. I was going to change it to be a DI, which is a DA, which is a dive assessment. So you have to go through like a load of questions. Pass. Sorry, that's a yellow card. Fail. You stay off the whole game.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a good solution.
Finally, a use for an HIA.
I think just going back to the weekend, the Six Nations very briefly.
That happened about 3 days ago.
Yes.
Three, 4 days
ago. 4 days ago. Reece Webb is so petulant. When he scored that try,
they're all petulant,
when he
aren't they?
Didn't score that try but thought he scored a try that was proven he was in touch, and he was like shaking his head and throwing his hands up in the air. It's so frustrating watching him play. We need to introduce, if he disagrees with the referee, he can call for a team or put it up there. But if he is wrong, yellow card. And
yes,
he's off the pitch. If he's going to be petulant and petty like that, get rid of him.
You want players who are kind of on the edge and really want to win and are desperate. But it's something that rugby's managed to do throughout its history is just keep a lid on that and direct it in the right way. And well, he struggles. He really does. And it winds me up. Yes. Something rotten watching him play.
Tim, can I... can I add something else to the TMO?
Oh yeah, go.
Argument. I think it's a stroke of genius. So, Reece Webb, because he's a passionate man or whatever you want
passionate
to call him,
passionate or petulant,
or petulant man.
One of those.
Sorry,
one of the P's.
Whatever
both.
It is, and they're pointing to the TMO. Jack, sir, Jack. Right.
Yeah.
This is the game plan you should have. So all scrum halves, hear me now, believe me later, because I'm on something here. If something happens early doors requiring a TMO. And say you're reaching for the line, you know you've not got it, it's going to TMO. Pop up, go to the ref and say, sir, I didn't get it. No need to go to the TMO. I'll sort this out right now. Fall on your sword, because you know you're going to lose anyway. And then you've got credit in the bank for later.
Yes.
When you do say TMO, or you do want a decision your way.
Yeah, 100%. A nice bit of honesty goes a long way.
No. It's disingenuous honesty.
No, but it's,
you've got to give something away which you don't care about.
Okay.
Like early doors.
Okay.
Yeah, because Paolo Di Canio did that thing once where he showed that brilliant bit of sportsmanship and everyone then let him off of the neo-Nazi stuff.
That was a good guy. That's so true. Catch a ball, be racist.
I think you're onto something. I like it. But I definitely as well think, not even joking, much like I really want to see a no-knock-on game trialled, which was JB's suggestion, which at first I thought was utterly ridiculous, but I would love to see it. Mm. I think it will change the shape of props and big players.
It would do, definitely.
I think your idea is absolutely brilliant. Someone appeals, it's yellow card or you're right, or a yellow.
Yeah.
Win or bust.
Yes, exactly.
I love it. It would stop Reece Webb. He was a brilliant player, and how electric was he? It would stop him.
Yeah.
Shut him up.
Back to the Premiership.
Yes, Tom Vardell didn't like his HIA. He was absolutely livid. You could see a doctor there looking at an iPad, looking at it back and just shaking her head. Sorry, Tom.
Yeah, yeah, which is...
And he failed his HIA.
Yeah.
Did he? Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course he did.
See, this is why I don't like it, because... Tom Vondell, I mean, if
just sign a disclaimer there. If you,
yeah. Get me my lawyer.
that's what they will end up being. They'll be like a QC. There'll be a TMO, or we're going to go to the QC on that one.
Yeah, and there's a guy in a pinstripe suit that makes his way from the crowd with a briefcase. Sign it.
But the other thing in this game, so Bristol tried to throw it away with the Rocco Duguni intercept.
Oh, didn't they just?
They tried. But Priestland missed the kick. Because if Priestland slots that conversion, Bath win.
Yeah. It's just... I just wish Gavin Henderson could have his time again and actually take the first half of his career seriously.
No.
It's just such a waste. Such
actually
a good player.
Live up to the potential.
So Bath are in a slightly precarious position when you look at them. Although, having said that Leicester have benefited from a couple of key players coming back, check out this for a Bath list of players that are unavailable through injury or international, mostly injury. Nick Alterac or Nathan Catt as your two options at loosehead, both unavailable. Ross Batty, hooker. Henry Thomas and Max Lahiff, unavailable at tight head. Dave Atwood, Luke Charteris in the second row.
Yeah.
Matt Garvey, Francois Lowe, Talupe Faletau.
Goodness me.
What a pack not to even be able to get on the field. And then Khan Fotu'ali'i, George Ford.
Yeah, because Fotu'ali'i...
Banners!
Was banned, wasn't he?
Yeah. Banners, Anthony Watson, and... No, he wasn't involved.
Nope.
They are missing some serious firepower. Yeah. So I expect it to turn around, but their away form is a massive worry.
Anthony Watson's interesting, actually.
Yeah, but can we just... Sorry, go on. Sorry, you carry on.
No, it's all right, but Watson, he's just coming back from a hamstring injury. He was named in the 24 for England, but he was effectively a travelling reserve. Surely it would have been better for him to actually get some game time at Bristol rather than sitting in Twickenham.
I mean, just looking at the team that Bath did put out with all those people out, though, I mean, Rocco Duguni, Jonathan Joseph, Benny Taps is some player. By the way, what's happened to Robbie Frewin?
He's there. He's played a few games, like A-League. Not A-League. Well, I think he actually has played A-League.
Tell you what, Welsh. I'd definitely go and watch the A-League if he was coming up to...
He scored...
Play versus Sale, for instance.
He scored in one of the Anglo-Welsh games, I'm sure.
Did he?
Yeah.
I wonder what's going on there. If you know anything about Robbie Frewin, let us know ASAP, because I'd be fascinated to find out.
Well, when you look at that top four, it's probably fortunate for Bath that a lot of the teams who are outside of the top four are looking pretty poor. Like, well, there's not a lot of competition for that, for the top four, other than the top four.
And Leicester.
And Leicester, yeah.
Yeah, Leicester really, because Leicester are 1 point off Bath, but then there is a 8 point drop down to Northampton.
So it's 5-4. Oh, in another year, Bath might have been ruining this little run of away form, but they're going to have the chance to rectify it.
I guess it has been made more interesting by Wasps losing last week, Saracens losing too. Exeter's, from their very poor start to the season, their recent form has been outstanding.
Yeah. I'm big enough to say when I'm wrong. My pre-season prediction was that Exeter had reached a high watermark with their Avicii Premiership final, and that they would struggle.
Peak Exeter.
Peak Exeter. and then it looked like I was prophetic after their first few months of the season. And I worked at the Ulster Exeter game, and I think it was something 1-11 for Exeter or something like that.
Yeah,
at
one
that
in
point,
eight or...
it looked horrific for them. The way they've turned it around is absolutely magnificent.
There cannot be enough good things said about that club, can there? And the work of Rob Baxter in particular. I mean, I thought they'd be better than last year's Exeter. That doesn't mean that I thought they would win the league.
Because everyone is improving.
Yeah, but I thought they would be better. And the start of the season, I thought, they've kind of ruined their balance a bit now with the experiment with...
Yeah, struggling, like, who do I put in? Yeah. Steenson, Devoto, Slade, how do they all fit together?
But it's all really started to settle down. Like Ian Whitten is a pretty key guy there.
Dolman as well.
Without anyone even realising. By the way, these Simmons boys, how do they know? I mean, they've got Jack Mulder at 9, they've got Joe Simmons at 10, just running the show.
That is that rugby hotbed is absolutely immense. My brother started his career, went down to Plymouth and played there, and Cornwall, Devon, there's some amazing schools. Ivy Bridge College, for example, produce a load. Exeter have got a brilliant academy. It's just rugby heartland, and they just seem to find these guys for fun.
You're absolutely right. And just to put this in context, I mean, these two guys, Jack Mulder and Joe Simmons, they're not playing clowns. They're not playing, you know, some has-beens. Takalua has been probably the form nine over the last 4 weeks. Joel Hodgson's been absolutely superb, but they were comfortably outplayed.
Yeah.
Simmons looked the part at 10.
I've got a question for you. And so the question is, after Denny Solomona's hat-trick last week, people were calling for him to play for England. And I don't want to get onto that, but someone who scored a hat-trick last week and got a brace this week and is English...
Yeah,
no one is mentioned.
James Short.
Not a single thing I've heard been mentioned about James Short.
His career is going to end with him being the best player that nobody knows about.
Yeah.
I mean, he has bounced about a bit.
Yeah.
But he's really... I mean, what do you see from him which makes you think he can't cut it at the highest level? Too small?
No, because he's small-ish, but he's deceptively strong and he's a very balanced runner. And he's rapid, so I'm really not sure.
Well, let's not rehash last last week's smaller clubs don't get picked, but you know, maybe
get
I mean, maybe if he was playing at Leicester.
Well, he has played at both Saracens and Wasps and not been not played for England.
Well, that's the other thing, isn't it? No,
and one of the people keeping him out of the England squad is Exeter Chiefs Jack Knoll.
Well, yeah, that's the other funny thing about James Shaw is he has had big clubs before. He went all the way down to Bedford, and yeah, how old is he now? About 26?
27, I've just looked him up.
On Tinder. Grindr.
Swipe right. Or left, I don't know. Yeah.
Well saved, JB. I don't know.
Interesting.
That's how Eddie Jones... If I was Eddie Jones, that's how I'd want my app. I'd want all of the England possible players to come up.
That's a great shout.
Swipe left. No, he's cut, he's out. Swipe right. Yeah, he's in. James Shaw... Ooh, you're in.
I'm thinking of a funny name for it, but I'm not funny, so I can't.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of a
of our rugby-based app.
Englander.
England.
Best keep thinking. Best come back to that one.
Yeah, I'll come back to that one.
So, yeah, that it's very impressive. I mean, I don't know. The problem with Exeter is they're so consistent. Like, they might be the best consistent team in the league. Problem is, when it comes to the real high-end stuff, i.e. the final, all they... Can they raise their level to match, well, presumably Saracens, but who knows?
Yeah, presumably. Because when Saracens have all their players back, you would have thought so.
Yeah, I think Saracens will cause them problems. But if they meet in the final with, say, Wasps...
Or Leicester, or even Bath, when Bath have got all their players back.
I think they can take any of those teams. I think psychologically they can. Saracens have just got a bit of a barrier for them.
Yeah,
Saracens even beat them at Sunday Park.
Maybe you're right.
So... Yeah, good. Very, very good result.
So any other games you want to talk about? Northampton beat Worcester 24-14.
Yeah, fine.
I don't think there's anything there that we need to go into detail, although Josh Adams scored a tremendous try, absolutely brilliant try.
Chris Pennell made his comeback after a long layoff, which will be a big boost for Worcester as well.
Yeah. They are starting to get their players available. And when they get Pete Teo back...
When BBT comes back... Yeah!
We will get onto it later, but... Do you know who they play next weekend?
Brizzle!
Bristol.
Do they?
They host Bristol.
Wow. Pressure.
Huge.
Well, last time they played Bristol, they just went to... Oh, it was awful, actually.
Two very big games. One at the top, one at the bottom. Bath Wasps.
Yes.
And Bristol Worcester.
Yeah, which we'll get onto at the end.
Yes, we will.
So the other games, Saracens beat Sale relatively comfortably, 29-18. You've got your soundboard up.
Yes, I have.
Yep.
And nothing too surprising about that result.
Well, it was surprising that Sale went 6-5 up. And then they lost.
They lost. Yeah, nothing too surprising about the result.
I watched most of this game. Saracens just sort of very, very powerful. Very well organised and Sale don't travel.
Yes. And then one of the highest scoring games of the weekend, Wasps beat Gloucester 35-22. Now, I've only seen very brief highlights of a couple of the tries. The Matt Scott try and the Willie LaRue try.
Seen the Jimmy Gopeth try as well.
I'm absolutely outraged at Jimmy Gopeth. We need to call this out when this abomination happens, when backs think it's all right to let the forwards do the grunt work and then a driving maul come and just nick the try at the end.
Jimmy Gopeth can do no wrong.
Only because he's in your fantasy rugby team.
Fantasy rugby draft.
It's amazing. He is amazing.
He is the top point scorer in the entire game.
JB's just got a one-man team, that's it. And he still lost this weekend, potentially.
Potentially.
Well, potentially every week we could lose. Yeah, Jimmy Gopeth goes down, I'm done. I tell you what a good player, though. I mean, yeah, Wasps, are they still top? Still
they are.
To the table?
They're comfortably top
and
as well.
And he's played 10, he's played 12, he's played 13. He's just very, very competent.
Yes, he's an outstanding athlete, isn't he?
Yeah. I kind of expected this result, to be fair. And it feels a bit like Gloucester just reverting to type after a few good performances.
So, in terms of transfer news and stuff, Samuel James on our Facebook live feed says, spotted Ben Spencer shopping in Hemel Hempstead Aldi. If that doesn't mean he's staying, I don't know what does.
Unless he's buying cleaning products to clean his flat.
Yes, because he wants his full deposit back.
Exactly right.
Unless he prefers malted Wheaties to Shreddies. Do you ever... And I'm a big fan of Aldi. I love it. The meat's wicked.
Yeah, good.
It is.
And the booze is really good.
Maybe it's the most middle class conversation of all, which is when people get around the table and go, Aldi, the meat.
Yeah.
No, it would be Waitrose. Trimmed broccoli stem. Ooh. Would be the most middle class.
Have you conversation seen the Twitter handle that's Waitrose Essentials?
No.
It's like Waitrose Essential Alaskan smoked salmon.
That's not essential. I'm writing in a Waitrose Essentials A4 ruled refill
pad.
Oh,
he is as well.
80 sheets recycled.
That BT money, fair play.
I'm working at the Bathwas game, by the way.
Oh, are you?
I'm well excited about
it. Oh, I might be going down for it.
I was going to say, is that the Canterbury?
Canterbury have kindly offered us some
tickets.
What
day is it? Saturday?
Saturday, 2:30.
Damn it. At Wasps?
No.
Bath.
At Bath. Not fancy it, Jay?
I'd love to. It depends on Didsbury Talk H. We might be playing on Friday night on a plastic pitch in Preston. If not, it's our only bus trip of the year to Thornton Cleveleys.
Oh, okay.
So that should be good fun.
Where's Thornton Cleveleys?
It's Blackpool. Nice part of the world. Good team.
Could not be a more different part of the world to Bath.
Yes.
Yes.
We're both... kind of nearest the coast, west side of the country.
They're near water.
Yeah, near water.
Yeah. Any more comparisons between the two? What about the two? Yes.
There's no longer any Romans in either.
Yeah, it ends there, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does end there.
Rather abruptly. So yeah, transfer news. You're gonna. I always used to. I still do when it's transfer deadline day in football, and they have the BBC. Online feed of the transfer rumours, and you get people texting in saying, I've just seen Didier Drogba walking around Waitrose.
Cristiano Ronaldo's just checked into the Hilton, what was the one in bloody Worsley.
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
always at Worsley, apparently.
Leo Messi's in Abracababra ordering a large doner and chips. Yeah.
There's been a couple of signings this week, haven't there? Newcastle have made a couple of signings.
They have, but you're going to have to remind me who they are.
So they signed Josh Matavesi.
That's a good signing.
He's a big lad.
He's a very big lad. And his brother, who's playing at...
Is it Red Roof he's playing at?
So Matavesi's an interesting signing.
Yeah, it is.
Another option in the centre in midfield.
They're building some squad there. I mean, where's this money coming from? That's the other thing. I don't think they're
spending massive dollar, are they?
Well, Matavesi won't be huge.
Well, he's coming from. Well, I guess not. But Maxime Mamoz can't be cheap.
No, that's true.
You know, how do you get Vaniki Gonova from Leicester unless you know you litter the M1A with cash? I don't know.
Yeah. lots of cash and a long term deal as well.
Yeah, so Sonotti would be another one who could get big money elsewhere.
We have talked before about which players should potentially get international recognition and maybe Mark Wilson and stuff, but actually maybe they're playing a blinder because all their players, I wonder if it's part of the profile of his squad where he doesn't want internationals.
Oh yeah, perhaps.
Yeah,
I mean,
because when Sale were looking good last year,
you pay a premium.
Hardly had any internationals.
You pay a big premium and you lose them for
such
a quarter
risky
of the games.
Game. It's such a risky game to play. Let's get the guys just below international.
Yeah.
Not quite good enough, or maybe just still got plenty in the tank but not playing anymore.
Yeah, so the secret to this is getting players from other nations who aren't, in your mind, English, but do English qualify so you get your RFU money.
Yeah, yeah.
Very dangerous game because imagine if Joel Hodgson gets called up. Well, they're down to then Catrick.
But it's so interesting because of the salary cap, because of the international eligibility and all that, and the EPS player qualifications.
And possibly seven or eight games, like a third of the league season with internationals at least.
Rugby Union, the strategy for building a squad is so nuanced.
I know.
Compared to football, where the league table pretty much reads the order of who pays their players the most.
I mean, Steve Diamond is the master. In my mind, there's a couple of guys. Steve Diamond is
Dean Richards has got to be the highest.
Rob Baxter.
Yeah.
I mean, we might just name all the directors of rugby, but you can't really look far past what the work that Saracens have done.
Yeah, Saracens have done some impressive stuff. And look at, we are just going to name everyone, but yeah, Northampton. I know they're not having the best season this year, but just the names in the squad and the number of English qualified players as well.
Well, I'd say Northampton is the example of not doing
not quite
it.
They've
paid over the odds for not good enough players or players that have passed it. And knowing when to cut and run is as important as knowing when to.
There are a few they could have cut and run, but just getting Louis Picamoles to the Premiership.
Yeah,
I think that is one of the biggest.
Sorry, what did you say? You called him Louis Picamoles.
Sorry, King Louis.
King Louis. Thank
you. Just getting King Louis.
I'm gonna get some King Louis music.
Yeah, I'm the King of the Swingers
week.
Music.
Oh no, I was just gonna say really regal.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Well, just the French national
because,
anthem.
Because the monkey in the orangutan in Jungle Book was called King Louis.
Oh, was he?
I'm pretty sure he was.
Yeah, it's just it's too jovial for such a great man.
I agree. Wholeheartedly agree.
Right. I've got a little rugby social, okay. If you two are ready.
Oh, wonderful. So you've got the game show sound effects, have you?
Not yet.
Okay.
That's the thing. I couldn't really think of all the things I needed, and now they're all coming back to me. But yes, I have.
Now
game
I know you've
show.
Got the soundboard there, I'll get you furnished with some sounds.
JB is on his new laptop.
Let me get some music up for this.
Do you know how hard it is to buy a laptop? Has anyone tried recently?
I saw you tweet about that. What was the drama with buying a laptop?
Well, I went to PC World, an organisation that I usually quite like because they give you good support and so, you know, when you get buying a lot of stuff, it's generally good to buy it from a large organisation. But not to bore you with that.
Is that so you can do what you do with your rugby boots at Decathlon and every few months say it's wrong, I need a new pair and take them back?
Exactly what I do. I did that 17 times to Decathlon. I got one pair of boots for £30 every time they break. Sorry guys. 17 pairs. So 40 minutes later, no laptop. Went to John Lewis. They didn't have the specification that I wanted. So went then to Trafford Centre to another Curry's PC World, and the guy tried to rip me off by insinuating the only laptop that they had was £750 more than the one that I actually wanted, if that makes sense. So I asked for spec. They gave me, you know, and they tried to sell me a USB pen for £50. They tried to open the box and start it up for me for another £50. And after spending well over £1,000 there, I walk out and the shopkeeper calls me back because I've not paid 5p for a bag. I couldn't be more angry. It's buying laptops is so difficult.
I can't believe he had the balls to call you back for not paying the
5p. Can you imagine?
You spent £1,000. And he's going to call you back and ask for 5p.
I nearly clotheslined him.
I think you would have been fine. You
so release him from that sharpshooter.
I'm imagining it does sound like a scene out of Falling Down with Michael Douglas, doesn't it?
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, that was my laptop. Anyway, Rugby Social.
Rugby Social. Have you got some music, Tim? There we go. Right, so I've been scouring players... Twitter, Instagram, Facebook pages, everything.
Rugby players love it, don't they? Love some social media.
They do. They definitely do. Right, first one. What did Tim Visser buy for his Harlequins teammates after getting his yellow card a couple of weeks ago? Was it lots and lots and lots of sweets?
Mm-hmm.
Was it flat whites and brownies from his favourite coffee shop? Or was it an enormous cheese board?
It's got to be flat whites and brownies, yeah? Do you agree with that?
I'm going to go sweets. Because I know that Joe Marler, for example, loves sweets. He's a big fan of sweets. And he always goes on about sweets.
Yeah, but coffee with the boys?
Yeah, coffee with the boys.
With the lads. Banter flying around everywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, absolute banter flying around. Lads. Yeah, because Chris Robshaw and every other rugby player own a coffee shop, so that would make sense. But I'm going to go for sweets because I know Joe Marler goes on about. No, I was a match announcing for Sale, and Joe Marler and Nick Easter got the sweets out, and Joe Marler was on the bench going, "Oh, Minty, get him over here, mate. Minty, come on, get him here." So I'll go to sweets.
Sweets, and Jay, you're saying coffee shop?
Coffee with the boys.
I can tell you, Tim is correct. He bought £50 worth of sweets for the
wow.
team. That is a lot of sweets.
Chris Jones, when he was on the Rugby Dungeon, was telling me a story
Ding.
About. was telling me a story about James Haskell when he interviewed him. And apparently Haskell's in some sort of big meeting with like the young players talking about your outside interests. And he pointed to one lad and went, well, what's your outside interest when you're not doing rugby? He goes, oh, you know, coffee with the boys.
Presuming that you meant like studying for a degree or
investment like, portfolios.
Yeah. Barista with the lads.
Coffee culture.
Yeah. Well, sweet culture is obviously part of Quinn's.
Quinn's, like, yeah.
Yeah, go for it.
Next one. Martin Castro Giovanni has been appearing on an Italian television show. But is it a cookery programme where he's doing his best Nigella Lawson impression?
Okay.
Is it the Italian Top Gear doing his James May impression?
Nice.
Or is it a Dancing with the Stars type programme doing an Austin Healey impression?
Tim, do you go for... Hang on, who won? Tim won that one, so I go first.
Well,
yeah.
You went first on the last one, but...
Yeah.
Okay, so you
go first, Tim. So,
having only because the lasting image I have of Castro is of him busting moves with Zlatan, I'm going to go for the dancing one.
I would go for the dancing one too, but Tim's done it, so I'm going to go with cookery.
Well, you know, he does own certainly own a Italian restaurant in Leicester.
I did not know that. What's it called? Giovanni's?
With Jordan Murphy, I think he owned it.
What is it called? He's very like. He shares everything with his teammates, doesn't he? His sister.
Oh, Tim.
His
Tim.
What do you mean?
I can't condone that.
What, Longo Mullapola is
married to her?
Married to her and got kids,
goodness,
twins with his sister.
Goodness me. Sailing closer to the wind than the America's Cup team there.
So you might think it would be a cookery programme, but it's not. He's been on a Dancing with the Stars style programme.
Has he?
He has. There's some interesting videos on his Instagram account if you go on there.
Oh, I'm going to go check that.
And
lad.
That means that Tim is 2-0 up.
Yep.
Unassailable lead. So the final question. Jack Noel and Dylan Hartley recently spent some time together shopping in central London.
Okay.
But did they buy tailor-made suits from Savile Row? Do they buy organic, vegan, fair trade skincare products?
Mm.
Or did they buy lots and lots and lots of Lego?
Lego.
I'm saying it's a trick question because I don't believe they bought anything.
Do you reckon?
And they didn't pay a penny.
Lego.
Because that's what Premiership... That's why Premiership rugby players have Twitter accounts.
You might be right on that.
I would have guessed Lego, but I'll go with the first one, a suit.
Suits. It was Lego.
Yeah,
they spent some time at the Leicester
lots
Square Lego
and
World.
Lots and lots of Lego.
It did look like a lot because Lego's expensive as well. They were,
it is, isn't
they
it?
Were each carrying the biggest kind of bags you can get that were full in each hand. So they must have spent acquired.
I got my lad a Lego Millennium Falcon for his birthday, so I know how much Lego costs.
Yes,
bloody hell, that would have been a couple of bags full. That would have been like 500 quid's worth.
Yes. Yeah.
If I had the time and inclination, I would create a Twitter account, rugby players blagging stuff.
Do you follow Jamie Gibson?
Yes. Oh, yeah, he's got a great food blog.
Yeah, he constantly does food stuff, but he's constantly like pushing these knives.
Yeah, I tell you what, maybe...
We would never push any sharp objects at all.
One of the brightest men in rugby, if you ever speak to the guy, the guy is quite a lot of muscle, but mostly brain.
His food stuff looks amazing.
Yeah.
It's genuinely brilliant.
Yeah, very bright bloke.
Yeah.
And that concludes this week's Rugby Social.
Very
well
good,
done,
Philip.
Well done, Tim.
Thank you.
Anyone watch any Super Rugby, by the way?
I saw my beloved Canes off to a tremendous start.
Good to see that it's still a defence-free zone, the Super Rugby, isn't it?
It is. Well, yeah, I mean, the best thing about Super Rugby is when they play.
Tired of ads interfering with your favourite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom.
like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
In the evenings?
What, evenings, our time?
Yeah.
So the South African games?
Yes.
I do like a breakfast game.
Even the Argentinian rugby games? Yeah, I got a bit... I had to take my car in for a service on Friday morning, so I got a bit of the...
Well, it's amazing. You can start on Friday morning. Sorry.
Thursday morning
even.
Yeah.
And go all the way through to last game on Sunday.
Saturday. They don't normally play Sunday, do they?
No, sorry, with the Premiership.
Oh, right, yeah. Well... Normally with the top 14 as well, they normally have a game at like 8 p.m. on a Sunday night.
Yeah. See, the only downside to it is it doesn't overlap with NFL. Because potentially you could take 2 days off, couldn't you? Thursday, Friday, finish very late, early Monday morning.
And just non-stop. The problem is, so I've watched a huge amount of rugby this weekend. And it does start to all merge into one game.
Yeah, it does. Yeah,
that's one thing. One of the producers
last weekend, even 3 days ago,
one of the producers at BT Sport just said, "Do you boys watch all the rugby? Like, how do you manage that?" This is someone whose job is around the game of rugby, and he was astonished at how much rugby we managed to watch.
Yeah, we pretty much do actually
in a weekend. I think it's incredible.
But I don't know. It never feels like a chore.
Yeah.
I always describe it to my lovely wife
as work. I always describe it as working.
Listen, Claire, I have to work this afternoon.
I don't like referring to myself as anything, least of all a hero. But sometimes.
So if you want us to be able to carry on doing this and legitimately justify that it is work.
Work. It is definitely work.
But if you also want to get the best razor on the market, which don't take our word for it. Well, actually, take our word for it and try it once and you won't disagree. We have so many people that go, "Do you know what, genuinely glad I tried it and thank you for all the tweets and stuff." Just get it. Cornerstone, £4 for 6 beautiful razors and a beautiful engraved aluminium shaft, award-winning razor. Beat Gillette, beat Wilkinson Sword. Cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers. Cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers will get you that discount, or
egg 10 at checkout.
That will also get you the discount.
Very good.
Any noticeable results from Super Rugby we need to talk about? Or any results just to reel off?
Cockers to Edinburgh. We didn't mention that.
Yes, that is...
I think Worcester, he was long muted for Worcester, and I think they'll be a bit disappointed that he's gone there.
But Gary Gold's a good find. I think it's brilliant news. I think it's absolutely tremendous news because... Scottish rugby is doing everything right, in my humble opinion. There's the Vern Cotter stuff, but you know, there's at least a good succession plan. So
they're casting their net far and wide to find new players as well.
Yes and no. I mean, are you referring to Hugh Jones?
I'm referring to...
Well, Hugh Jones is Scottish, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. Yeah. But, you know, he's pretty Scottish.
He is Scottish.
Because of the success of Glasgow... They've got an actual overspill now. And Edinburgh have got a core of some really good players. Hamish Watson, they'll have Bennett next year. They're going to have Cockers running the show.
They've got Kinghorn and Bradbury, who are two very...
Blair Kinghorn is the most Scottish-sounding name I've possibly ever heard.
He's a quality player.
He's a really good player, yeah. Another under-20s player. But they've never finished above 8th. In the Pro 12?
Have they not?
8th.
I don't believe so.
8th in the Pro 12?
Yeah.
Good God. It will turn around. I love the way that it kind of the excellence of Glasgow is kind of seeping across to Edinburgh now. They've stopped
playing in Murrayfield as well, haven't they?
Have they stopped that yet?
I think, yeah. They're is it Maya side? I can't remember the name of the place.
It is absurd, isn't it?
It's like a 5,000 or 8,000-seater stadium.
It's absurd that not even the Scottish national team play every game in Murrayfield. Yet Edinburgh do. You can stand on the pitch at Murrayfield. There's that few people watching it.
I've been there to watch international and Edinburgh Ulster. There was only about 6,000 people there, but it was still quite a good atmosphere because it's a decent stadium. I quite like it.
Not my favourite, but yeah.
It's not my favourite, but it's a decent stadium. So you asked any notable results in the Super Rugby?
Yep.
Obviously the Canes. So the reigning champions, one of the strongest teams in the tournament, travelled to the poor Fire Puppies.
Oh dear. Oh God.
For the Fire Puppies opening game. Have you seen the scoreline?
No, but I can tell you this much. Those Fire Puppies were on one-year contracts last year, and it is only about 6 months ago that they signed up a coach for this year.
Can we just also mention that the Rapey Wolf is no longer their mascot?
What?
Yeah, I saw
crack
this.
Fox.
The Crack Fox is
gone. The Crack Fox is gone.
The Rape Wolf?
yeah, the scoreline was 83-17.
It's hard to justify them being there. Isn't
look
it,
at them, yeah, you look at their Twitter account, and I can't read Japanese.
No. So I don't
know. But look how happy the players look in the changing room after the game.
They're delighted because
they just got spanked.
They've played against their heroes, Julian Surveyor and Bowden Barrett and Dane Coles and TJ Perenara.
Just you read Japanese. What does that say?
Let's look.
The tweet from Kenki Fukuoka. Or Fukuoka.
Hang on, I can't quite see that.
What does it say? You read it.
Great effort today, lads. Can't wait to have coffee with the boys. okay. Any others?
Jaguares won on the road. The Jaguares actually won a game on the road. Although they did only beat the Southern Kings.
Good. Well, it's a start, isn't it?
39-26.
I've got high hopes for my Jaguares.
I'm going to do some investigation between this week and next week because I've just looked at two different Twitter accounts of Super Rugby franchises, the Crack Foxes or Fire Puppies.
Yeah.
Who on all their tweets have a hashtag Rise as One.
I hate hashtags so much.
And then I've just looked at the Jaguares Twitter account and all their tweets have a hashtag, where is it? Personal Super Rugby. And hashtag Personal Super Rugby. And also hashtag Vamos Jaguares.
Sorry, Tim. Is Personal not the blue sponsor that they have?
Oh, maybe it is.
I think that actually sponsors them.
Probably is.
Because do you know when Pumas play, they've got that light blue Personal stuff.
But look, on all their tweets, hashtag Personal Super Rugby, hashtag Vamos Jaguares. I'm going to investigate all the different... Look, tell me another team to look up.
Okay, Scotland.
No.
Rugby.
Stormers.
Are they all doing this?
Stormers.
DHL Stormers, there we go, the Stormers. Hashtag We Stand Together is on all their tweets.
I hate it.
Hashtag I Am A Stormer, hashtag We Stand Together. Man.
Hashtag My Stormers.
Are they all doing this?
Stormer family.
What, surely my beloved Canes won't be doing this.
Hurricanes.
My beloved Canes is a bit of a mouthful, but a good hashtag.
So I'm on the Hurricanes Rugby Twitter account, and... Oh, Phil.
No.
Brumbies.
No, surely not. Surely not the
Canes. They,
Brumbies. No. Hashtag horseplay.
No, do you know what?
Heard. Yeah, no.
They don't have one on every tweet like the Sunwolves and the Stormers and the Jaguares, but they do use regularly when they're talking about home games, hashtag our house, and also hashtag Kane's family, but you see that one a lot.
Yeah.
Come on, you Quins, or come on, you Wasps.
COYQ.
Dull.
Yeah. I'm gonna give me one more name that you think will have a hashtag.
Let's go for an Australian franchise then.
Brumbies, because it's going to be horse related. It's going to be hilarious. Like, we are the herd or something. Heard me now, believe me later.
If any don't have hashtags, we should come up with some for them. Do you know what? The Brumbies are my new favourite Super Rugby team.
Go on.
The only hashtags they use are in relation to the games.
Oh, nice. Hashtag knock on.
No, just like hashtag CRUVBRU.
Exactly how hashtag should be used for the record.
So, I now support the Brumbies.
There you go.
Done.
Very good.
I still support the Jaguars.
I cannot wait to go and see the Jags.
I can't believe you're doing that. I'm over in South Africa at the same time. Day of the bloody wedding.
Yeah, sack off the wedding.
I would be tempted, you know.
See the Jags.
You're seeing Jaguares against
Sharks
in
Durban.
Oh man,
I'm in Durban as well. I wonder if they train the day before.
Probably there'll be
a media day.
Yeah. Technically, Phil, that is, you are working, reporting for the podcast on that game. That's a tax deductible expense, that.
Yes. Tell me about it, mate. Yes. Tell me about it. I've got a few interviews lined up out there. Should be good fun.
Working. Should be working. Professional work.
Working, yeah.
Should be rewarding work.
It is difficult to explain to my actual job, my proper employers, that I'm going to work out in South Africa for 3 weeks.
So shall we run through...
Fixtures.
Yes,
let's wrap this up.
Yeah.
Right.
I've enjoyed this podcast.
Yeah, I was thinking, congratulations, boys, on the least rugby ever spoken in a rugby podcast.
But that's good. There's the yin to the yang. The Six Nations one was very... like rugby. in a good way, it was really intensively rugby.
Getting into the detail as well. Right. We've got Pro 12 on the Friday night. Connacht hosts Zebre, which will be a win for Connacht.
Mm-hmm.
Edinburgh host Ospreys, which will be quite interesting.
Yeah.
Gimme Ospreys.
Good.
Ulster host Benetton Treviso.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Glasgow host Dragons.
Mm-hmm.
So gimme Glasgow.
Yeah.
The Blues host Munster.
Now, these two games potentially could be interesting.
Yeah. So, Blues hosting Munster. That will probably be quite a good game.
Yeah. Now, Leinster put out a pretty decent team last week.
Yeah. Leinster, even though they lose about a dozen internationals, they can still field about a dozen internationals.
Yeah, so they had Burn on the wing, Burn at fly half. Corbury's back.
Kirchner's playing.
Yeah. They're not going to be... They're not going to be easy to beat, but I mean, will Scarlett stay over there? That sounds like a stupid question.
I would expect not.
Fly back and then fly over again.
Yeah, because it's like an hour flight, isn't it?
Yeah, but you got to land in Cardiff. How far is Cardiff to Scarlett's? It's not. Then you've got the bus back, and mind you, they're probably all leaving.
You're making this sound like it's really hard work.
Well, do you know what I say that because when I spoke to someone who plays at Glasgow, they described their day, and they were playing Scarlets, and for them they had to fly into Bristol, and then it's a 3-hour bus ride from Bristol to get to Scarlets, and they were travelling fans, believe it or not. Imagine making that journey.
Yeah, but that'll be because there's no direct flight from Cardiff to Glasgow.
Yeah, might not be. Yeah.
So they'd have to do either an indirect via like Manchester or Dublin or somewhere else, or via Amsterdam.
yeah, probably. So Leinster to win. To beat Scarlets and Cardiff to run... No, Cardiff get battered by Munster. At Cardiff.
Munster.
Yeah, have that Cardiff.
Right, Premiership. So, Friday night.
This will tell me exactly how far Leicester have come. If my theory is correct, this is the one.
This is a good test. So, Leicester at home to Exeter. Give me your predictions.
I'm going to say Leicester are going to win it. Mental, but that's what I think.
Will Exeter be allowed Henry Slade, for example?
I'd imagine so, yeah.
Probably, yes.
And Steenson will be back?
Because, for example, last weekend, Matt Mullen, who'd benched the previous two weekends, he played for Wasps. So I imagine those who haven't started, who've only
by the way,
bench,
Henry Slade's filthy offload in that match in the England, man, it was beautiful.
It's like, what about the daily offload?
Oh yeah,
the daily round the back.
Oh, I love that.
That was brilliant.
Damn, he's good.
I'm gonna take Leicester to sneak it.
I think Leicester.
Leicester at home. It is a tough place to go to Welford Road.
Oh, I'll be here for this game if I'm allowed to go. If Sale let me through the doors.
Sale Sharks host Northampton.
Bit late that, isn't it? Quarter past
eight. Why wouldn't they let you through the doors?
I don't know. They might have changed their opinion on me. Who knows? but yeah, if I can go, I'll definitely go to that. If anyone
wants the game.
Sale Northampton.
Northampton. And
Friday night, is it?
It is. Yep. Friday night. Opportunity for a good win for Sale.
And they will win.
If they play as well as they did against Wasps, they will win.
This Northampton team, although the name suggests they should be quite good, are pretty, pretty poor. They're much, much worse than some of their parts.
How does the name suggest they should be good? I was just trying to work out if that was like a pun
on
or something.
Saints.
No, the names of the players. So if you,
oh, I see.
Yeah,
right, okay.
Sorry. So if you look through like the name, like the,
I knew,
like,
I, knew I misunderstood what you meant. Yeah, but, yeah.
I think Sale will do them.
I might agree with you on this one. This might be my first prediction of a Sale win in about 10 rounds of Premiership rugby.
Here we go.
Give me Sale.
Oh, I'm going to go for Sale.
Then, this is a tough one.
Which one?
Gloucester Harlequins.
This is like the hot and cold teams.
Yeah.
They're both awful away from home, though. And they're both really good at home, so I'll take the home team.
Yeah.
Who's the home team? Gloucester.
Give me Gloucester at home.
Yeah. Gloucester home, yeah.
And Tom Marshall, who's back for Gloucester again this weekend.
How did they find this guy?
Looked great. How did they find this guy?
Yeah.
Playing for the Crusaders.
Bloody good player.
He is a handy player. Give me Gloucester at home.
Bath Wasps.
Which both me and you might actually be at, Tim.
That would be fantastic.
I'd love to go to this game. Oh, hang on. If I go to that game, it means that Talk Age are playing on Friday, which means I can't go to Sale, so pick my poison.
You not fancy a night out with me and Tim down in Bristol?
Yes, I do.
Or Bath, or both.
Or Bristol. Bristol over Bath for a night out.
Yeah, maybe drinks in Bath and then train over to Bristol.
Yeah, just a little.
Yeah, because that worked out well last time, didn't it? Newcastle Saracens?
Wait, who's going to win? Bath versus Wasps?
Wasps.
This is a really tough one. Bath are in a rotten run.
That pack that you read out that they've got unavailable is huge. So give me Wasps.
Yeah, Wasps. I mean, they...
low out for this. Faletau will be able to play because he was only benched.
And also he's Welsh. So it makes no difference, does it?
Has he not a George North-style deal where he's protected?
No. The George North-style deal, if I have this right, and please correct me if I'm wrong, means he gets to play the games which fall outside of the international window.
But does it also mean that Wales get access to him? So 2 weeks before or the week before
might be. But
they got fined. There was not a 70K fine because they did that deal, which was contravened what should have been done or what. But, I don't know anyway.
But presumably,
I don't know. So that,
presumably that if that was Northampton's option, then when Bath signed Faletau and when Harlequin signed Jamie Roberts, they just knew that they could pay. Well, if we just pay the 70K, we get out of this.
Exactly right.
This situation.
Yeah.
Although it's not really in the club's interest to have him released for those. But I guess it's
Premier Rugby that have cracked down on it. I think it's cheap. Yeah. I think, you know,
I think if 70K was probably meant to be a deterrent as much as a punishment. And if they did it again, I don't know.
I just don't like the idea that you have to. Anyway, who cares? Move on.
So we're saying Wasps.
Wasps, yeah.
Yeah. Then Newcastle Saracens.
This is not as easy as you'd expect, is it?
It's not. I agree.
Plastic pitch doesn't really help in this situation, but playing at home does. Good run of form. Didn't they run Saracens fairly close not so long ago?
They did. In the run around Christmas.
Newcastle. Give me Newcastle.
I'm going to say Newcastle as well.
I'm going to say Newcastle. We're in agreement on every game.
Mm.
This is the week, people, to get six bets on an accumulator.
Goodness me.
We're going to be wrong about Leicester Exeter. We're going to be wrong about Sale Northampton.
We're not going to be wrong about Bath Wasps.
These are not easy. We are all agreeing with each other, but these are not easy games to call.
Bristol beat Worcester.
No, Worcester at home.
If Gavin Henson plays, that's a fascinating battle, isn't it? The fact that Worcester don't really have a fly half. They've got Mills doing well. But Gavin Henson...
But Mills' kicking this weekend just gone was not
big
great.
Big Gav, come on. Let's get the names right. It's King Louis, it's Big Gav.
Yeah, Big Gav. Nice plastic pitch. I tell you what, it's going to be very tough for them.
Yeah.
And also, that Bristol squad has got so much more quality in now. Woodward.
Bristol are making me scratch my head. They looked awful early in the season. Then they had that amazing patch over Christmas where suddenly they just got this togetherness. Then they looked like they weren't just off... They weren't just a bit rusty or a bit poor. They were dreadful for 2 weeks.
Yeah. Again, they hosted Quins, who we've already said do not travel well, and it was men against boys.
Yeah. Well, there again, first game of the season, they nearly turned over Quins.
They did.
In Wembley.
And pretty much this. Did they luck out just facing a Bath team completely shorn of players? They're going to get a better Worcester side.
Watch that game again, particularly the first half. And I'm not going to dwell on how great Gavin Henson is.
Big Gav.
But, yeah, Big Gav was... His kicking game was outstanding. And I think if you've got a weak fly half and you lose the kicking battle in the territorial battle, it's going to be really, really difficult for them. So, there again, I tell you what Worcester do have in spades is very experienced, very good backs.
Oh, and they've got some exciting backs as well. Some genuine pace. Mm. So, interesting. I'm going to go for Worcester at home.
I'm going for Worcester.
Bristol.
There we are.
Wow.
Good work, gentlemen.
Pod done.
Good work, not Another doing one. Much rugby there.
I enjoyed the balance. Like I say, there's
yin and yang.
Yin and yang.
Him
exactly.
and her.
Exactly. It's like, what's that? What do they call it with the different flavours all come together? Umami.
Umami is a flavour
in its
it's
own.
It's the fifth flavour, yeah.
But anyway, you know what I mean.
Yeah, we get it.
Sweet and sour.
Yeah.
All of that. All of that stuff. So, yeah, thank you very much for listening this. Well, whenever you're listening to it, we're recording it Tuesday night, obviously, for Wednesday morning, ahead of the Avicii Premiership Pro 12 and stuff this weekend. This weekend we'll have the reaction to these games and also a look ahead to the Six Nations matches that are coming up on the fourth round of games. Enjoy the rugby this weekend. Egg Chasers Podcast on Instagram, Rugby Podcast on Twitter. Leave your review and subscribe on iTunes, Acast and whatnot. And anything else, gents? No.
Good work.
Are they new? They're new Adidas Gazelles, aren't they, Phil?
No, they're just box fresh. I've been looking after them. Yeah, had them a couple of years, probably.
I just wanted to take another detour just to try and wind JB up. Talk about trainers as well.
And these are new socks, thanks for asking.
Where are they from, JB? Have they got a little...
These are... I don't know where
they're
from.
What do they say? Say something underneath. Crew clothing. No, I'm not going to plug some sock brand. Let's end the pod.
Can I plug my other podcast? My other podcast, Last Week in Brexit, which all...
Which will come out.
It's completely different. If you've listened to me on rugby, it's slightly different. So if you like your politics, if you like your
Are you
chat,
sharing it or are you being opinionated in it? Because I don't want to listen to you sharing it. I want to hear you.
No, I'm the complete other way.
I want to hear the opinions of JB.
A bit of both.
Okay, good. We really have gone non-rugby and I love it.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm all over that. Thank you for listening. Good work, Philip.
Thank you, Tim.
Good work, JB.
Cheers, Tim.
In a bit. Play the horn over the top of
the Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.